podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Darren, 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 Darren.
Welcome back, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. I am high as a kite for two reasons. Number one, I've just had a very, very large dinner and we're recording this. Normally I record this in the morning, but this week we're doing it in the evening, which has given it a sort of slightly, I don't know, I quite like the atmosphere. And hopefully this is going to work. We'll find out now. And my guest this week is a brilliant actor who absolutely stole the show on the very fabulous Years and Years. I mean, there were some other people in it as well, but she was my favourite in it. And I'm thrilled that she's joined me this week. Please welcome Ruth Madeley. Hello, Ruth Madeley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Well, it's great to have you here. And the evening thing is interesting. We've already spoken a little bit before the show. You've got a glass of wine on the go. And most importantly, we need to establish if we can both be quiet and enjoy the background noise that you've brought to the show today.
I'm so sorry, Rich.
Here we go. Oh. Now that is, I'm imagining a sleeping elderly lady in the corner of your room. Is that what that is? That's what that sounds
You're
like.
You're not
to me.
Far wrong, to be fair. It's my male dog, my bulldog Buford, and he is fast asleep on my floor in my office, and he is just heaven on earth. And if that gets annoying, please tell me and I will move him out of the room and we'll explain to him that it's your fault.
You must be kidding me. Anyone who's listened to this podcast before will know that I'm obsessed with dogs. They take priority over everything else.
Everything in my life. Everything.
Yeah. And trust me, audio quality is at the bottom of a very long list, which dogs are at the top of, if that makes sense. So the dog is sleeping peacefully. And it's nice, Ruth, because, you know, if we have any awkward moments, we can just drift into a sort of dog
snore. I'm just going to hypnotize you.
But it's the most soporific sound in the world. I can't. So sometimes I've got a dog as well, and often my wife will leap out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Polly sleeps next to me on my side on the floor. I know Polly Wally, and I'll wake up a bit and I'll be like, right, I'm going to get up. And then I hear Polly doing that exact noise, which Buford is doing now. And then I fall straight back to sleep.
Isn't it the most relaxing thing? Now, as I did mention this before, if Joe, my boyfriend, did any sound like that remotely in bed while I was trying to sleep, he would be buried under the patio by morning. But Buford, he can do whatever he likes, and it's so relaxing and beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, if you come to say hello. Yes.
Yeah, I think he heard his name. I think he heard his name. How old is he, please?
He's going to be 2 in November.
Oh, wonderful.
The angel and muse of my life and can do no wrong.
I love him.
He does not respect me.
No. Well, that's the best thing about dogs. My dog couldn't give a shit about me. I could be on fire and she'd just use it as an opportunity to get on my chair.
I swear to God, God help us, if we were ever burgled, this dog would use me as a human shield. I swear. My boyfriend is like his world. I am at best Buford's playmate and equal. That's at best. Most days I'm his subordinate. Right. But that's fine. Accept that these dogs own you now.
Good. Talking of owning, let's find out what you've been buying and taking ownership of on your Amazon account.
You can't delete things, can you? I've just realised.
It's far too late. Yeah. And I'm really happy that you've signed the formal My Mate Bought a Toaster contract, which means I get to choose absolutely everything that appears on the episode.
Everything. So
we're diving back to 2008.
Oh, okay. What did I buy in 2008? Oh, my word. My phone does not go back that far. I'm terrified. Hit me.
Okay, well, 2008. Do you know what? It's a strong start. 26th of September, 2008.
Oh, shit. Can I swear? I'm so sorry.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's absolutely what I meant. Yeah. Oh, well. I usually have to ask these before.
No, but you are swearing in front of a 2-year-old there. Is that okay? Do you mind swearing in front of the dog?
You know what? He's got up and left. I think he's sick of my voice already. See, this is what I mean. He doesn't respect me.
He's gone to find his daddy.
Yeah, genuinely. It's like, okay, she's done.
Talking of domestic bliss, you have bought on the 26th of December 2008, nearly 12 years ago exactly, Will and Grace season 1-8, the complete box set.
Yes, I did. Honestly, one of the best purchases I've ever made in my life. I bought that. You know what I bought that for? I bought that. I was obsessed with it. I bought that as a It was 2008, so it was when I just graduated, and it was a post-graduation present to myself.
A good way to prepare for a life of an actor is to get a solid box set.
I didn't even know I was going to be an actor then. That's hysterical. It was just that I have no job. Let's see how we can fill the time.
So hang on. So where did you graduate from?
Edge Hill in Liverpool. Ormskirk. I did script writing. So... So
your initial instinct was to be a writer rather than a performer then?
I did this. Basically, my whole career is a beautiful, beautiful accident. And I always knew I wanted to be in the industry, but I thought that my capacity would be in storytelling, writing kind of way into it. I was always really interested in how stories are told, how they're made, and... Yeah, I don't know if it was a subconscious thing, but I just never grew up seeing anyone who looked like me on TV. And yeah, I just didn't think it, I didn't even factor into my head that it was even an option. And I'd never taken a single acting class in my life. I didn't know whether I was any good at it. My acting credentials went as far as being Mary in my school nativity. But as to be fair, as roles go,
yeah,
the Mother of Christ is pretty high. You know what? That was at 5 years old, you know, but I mean, I just thought I peaked too soon.
That set you up. So you mentioned this thing that you never saw anyone who looked like you when you were watching. So do you feel the pressure now? Do you feel like you've got to take that pressure? Does that feel like a burden, or does that feel like a positive thing?
Both, because, I mean, on the whole, 90% of it is a positive thing. There's 10% that's kind of, it can be worrisome because the industry still has its problems when it comes to disability representation. Well, it has a lot of problems. It is an uphill battle, and you want to fix everything and make everything better now for the people who aren't like me and who aren't looking at this career as an accident. This is what the only thing they want to do. They want to go to the drama school. They want to put their heart and soul into this one focus, this one career, and this is their only passion. And those people who want to be in the industry and make an impact and become incredibly talented actors and who want to nurture their talent and really develop it the same as any other aspiring actor, the industry needs to change a lot to be able to accommodate that from very early on. So I do feel a lot of pressure in making it better and wanting to make it better now, because one of my major flaws is I'm incredibly impatient, but that works for me as well sometimes. So on the whole, it's a really positive thing, and it's something that I am very, very privileged and proud to be able to bring attention and awareness to. But the other half is, you know, that you are fighting an uphill battle a lot of the time.
It can give you such a sense of purpose though, can't it?
I mean, that is my driving force. I'm very, very aware that I didn't train for this. I was in the right place at the right time, and then I found something that I was good at. And there's no right or wrong way to get into this industry, and that's what I tell anybody that I meet. That is my driving force, is I want to leave this industry better than I found it for people like me. So that
is... Then when you were at this point, did you feel, well, I can't be an actor, even though I might want to be one, because I'm in a wheelchair? Were those feelings that you actually had?
It didn't even register. Even when I got my first acting job, I was like, well, that was nice. Genuinely. But my agent laughs at me now. I think this past year has only been when my attitude has changed a bit. In even after every single job, I'm like, well, we had a nice run, didn't we? Wasn't that nice? Genuinely, after every... I just never saw it as a career, a way to... pay the bills. I just always thought it would just be something that would be really nice to do on the side. And it took a long time for me to realise, oh, well, this is my job now.
It really is. I mean, at that stage, though, 26th of September 2008, your job was watching 8 seasons of Will and Grace. That's fucking hours, Ruth.
It didn't do me very good.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether you know this, love, but... I went on Celebrity Mastermind Tom.
Oh.
And my speciality was Will and Grace.
Oh, God, yes.
I came last. I did better in the general knowledge than I did on my specialist subject, which was Will and Grace. You know what I did? I kept it too broad. I said because Will and Grace did like the newer series recently. So in the past couple of years, they did a new series. Mm. So they reunited, and then but I said no, the original 1 to 8. I should have picked one season, and I picked all 8. Well,
yes.
Well, it was a disaster.
That's a hard thing to revise, especially with a career that's getting busier and busier. That's the irony. The sad irony is the time to ask you this questions about Will and Grace would have been when you had absolutely nothing going on.
Would have been 2008. I would have smashed it. You know what?
Yeah.
It was for charity. I do not mind embarrassing myself for charity.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But come on, just getting a bath of beans for that. This is worse.
My mate.
November 2008, we've got a lot of video games. So are you quite into your video games then?
Which video games were they?
So we've got, well, interestingly, you've got FIFA 09 on the PS3 and Pro Evo Soccer, which is like buying a Betamax and a VHS at the same time.
Yeah, I think one of them would have been for my brother-in-law and the other one would have been for an ex-boyfriend. So that was great to bring that up.
Let's hope the ex got Pro Evo. Always give the ex Pro Evo. That fucking dick. He's welcome to Pro Evo.
You can have it.
Yeah,
you can
exactly. Have it. All right, so that's 2008. 2009 then, Ruth. So, by the way, in 2009, at this point, at what point did the, maybe acting thing happen and the writing thing get parked for now? When did that moment come about?
You know, I've been acting professionally as like a real career, as in like pretending to appear like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
5 years?
Okay.
But this is the funny thing, right? I only left my full-time real job, as I call it, last March.
What was your full-time?
I worked as a fundraiser for the children's charity WizKids. I'd worked for them for 9 years. Right. And when I got the job on Years and Years, I took a sabbatical. I said, listen, I can't. It's going to be too much commitment. I won't be able to do both jobs well enough if I keep doing. Because I'd always just used annual leave. I'd done evening work, weekend work. I'd just used all of my annual leave and all of my time off in lieu to do acting work. That was just how I juggled it.
Yeah.
And then after I finished Years and Years, I went back to WizKids. By the way, if anyone doesn't know, they're a children's charity that buy wheelchairs for disabled children. And they bought me my first wheelchair when I was 5. So I'm very, very lucky that I can see how the charity works from a beneficiary point of view and an employee as well. So after Years and Years finished, I went to WizKids and I'd got another job on Channel 4. The Sarah Lancashire drama called The Accident that Jack Thorne wrote. And so I said, oh, I just need to extend my sabbatical. And my wonderful boss at the time said to me, she said, Ruth, I think you might be an actor now. And I was like, no, this will be finished tomorrow. Please don't kick me out. I need to pay my mortgage. And I was just, I just never saw myself being able to, I mean, it was 100% the right thing to do to say, you know what? Yeah, I just can't keep doing both. It'll kill me.
Yeah. But, do you think that the refusal, let me rephrase that question. Is this a self-belief problem or is this just you want to keep yourself grounded? What's going on here? Why aren't you feeling the entitlement?
It wasn't a self-belief thing. If you know, the one person I'll always back is myself, but it was the fact that I'm not naive. I'm not a lovey. I'm not in any way, shape or form interested in fame or anything like that. I'm very much, I loved my job at WizKids and they were like, they've been families to me since I was 5 years old. So I think if it had been like any other job that I absolutely detested, I'd be like, bye bitches, I'll see you later. But I'll see you with the BAFTAs. But this time it was like, no, I stay here. I felt really safe. And you know, this acting like is full of rejection and hardship, but also wonderful moments as well. And I just didn't see it as anything sustainable because, I mean, the disability side did play a lot in that. I think it was a case of, it's harder. It is harder as somebody with a disability in this industry. It is. It's undeniable. It's just what it is. And it was that fight and that uphill battle that you just think, oh, I'm going to leave my full-time job with security and then I'm going to, like, not get a job for another 2 years and be broke and unable to pay my mortgage. So there were a lot of factors, but the self-belief wasn't one. Not in myself. It was in the opportunities. Were they there? Were they enough to... That's for me to live on.
You almost didn't have belief in what the industry could provide you with.
Yeah, it was that more than anything else. And a big part of it was that I'd never in a million years thought that I would be the kind of I like to know when my next paycheck's coming. Well, that's gone out the window now, hasn't it? But I was always like that. I'd never been in a job where I didn't know where my next, you know, but wage was coming from. So
yeah.
Kind of throw all that in the air and say, hey, I'm going to be an actor with no guarantees. Bye.
Yeah.
It felt really, really strange.
There's a lot of actors for whom money obsession is a big thing. And if you've got that and you're throwing yourself, you know, into the industry and you've got disability, that is just the bravery that takes is off the charts. It really is. It doesn't surprise me at all, especially with the comfort. And it sounds like this sort of extended family that WizKids was for you. But it must be great now, because let's be honest, your profile's absolutely shooting up at the moment.
I'm really, really, really lucky, and I wouldn't have felt... it was 100% the right time to leave WizKids when I did. And I was very lucky that I was in a position where I could see the bit of a trajectory. I knew that I had certain things lined up. So that kind of gave me a bit of a comfort blanket, knowing that there were a few jobs that I knew were coming up and I could rely on. But then
also, you can use your profile now, right? And become a more ambassadorial role. And also, when all actors, as all actors will do, you know, when the dip comes, hi guys, I'm back. What do you mean?
I wrote a letter to our CEO. She is absolutely incredible. She's called Ruth Owen, and she is the most formidable woman. She's a force to be reckoned with. I absolutely adore her. I literally wrote her a card because she'd been nothing but supportive to me. And I said, listen, Ruth, I can't thank you enough for everything. You've been an absolute wonder to work with. It's been a joy. When this goes tits up, I will be begging for my job back. Yeah. I wrote it down. It's written down. It's in black and white. And also, when, you know, charities usually ask people or invite people to be patron, I insisted as I left. I was like, please, can I be patron now? Just like any capacity that I can stay with you.
I'm actually
patron now, guys. Like, please leave. We're sick of you. But I'm very lucky that I get to do lots with the charity. And still very much feel part of it. I don't think that'll ever go away. It just means if I do well, then hopefully they can get a bit of publicity from it as well, which is the very least that I can do for them.
Of course. I mean, let's go back to 2009, all right? So this is before the acting things kicked off, right? So we've got here 15th of February 2009. Obviously, Valentine's Day has happened. The ex is happy because he's had computer games. That's over.
Yeah, great.
And you're looking into the next section of 2009, and you've bought A Hand to Guide Me by Denzel Washington. What's that, please?
My Hand to Guide Me, yes. I love it. He's like my favourite actor ever.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote about all of the people that had helped him get to where he is. So it's a great book. I'd recommend it to anyone. And it was a producer that I'd worked with because I was doing some work placement kind of things at the BBC, and a producer that I'd met on my first acting job. Yes. My first acting job, I'd recommended that I buy that book, so I did.
Okay. And it's full of people who inspired and helped and...
Yeah, so there's people like from his childhood, so his pastor, his school teachers, and they've all written about how they influenced him and things, and it's really, really interesting. And it was people that you think are seemingly insignificant at the time, not insignificant, but you don't think they're going to have such a massive impact on your career that you, when you become an international superstar like Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And it was just, you can really see how he develops, and he's remained really humble and close to his roots, I guess, where he's from.
Yeah, he's awesome. I was lucky enough to interview him.
About
a year ago. And
no.
he's an absolute fucking dude. He's just the nicest guy. He's just, he's so lovely.
He's beautiful. I don't care how old he gets. He doesn't change. I would literally leave Joe in a heartbeat. You have it on record. Oh,
a longing to lick Denzel Washington. We've all got it. I want this land no more.
If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door. Get yourself some gas and air and breathe deeply.
We're talking on the phone while he had his arm inside my vagina.
In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me! CD player doesn't work. I was like, I'm staring! Why am I fucking CD player? Where's my playlist?
That's One Torn Every Minute with me, Beth Murray. Available now from Great Big Owl.
Help me!
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, la, la.
Here's a good one. 15th of February 2009. This is a classic. Collect British stamps 2009.
Oh, my dad. My dad. Oh, my dad.
Sure. Uh-huh.
My dad has collected stamps. He's the biggest geek in the world. He's collected stamps since he was about 12, knowing him. But yeah, it was something that his dad, I think, passed down to him. Oh. And it's just a thing now. So, I must have ordered that for my dad.
Oh,
I don't know how he ever got a girlfriend, to be fair.
The 2009 edition of Stanley Gibbons' famous all-colour
Stanley Gibbons,
list.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Lists every British stamp from the penny black to the end of 2008 with an all-commemorative...
I mean, is there a more interesting read?
It really is fantastic stuff. That dog is going to start snoring again.
He's gone. He's left me.
Oh, he's... stamp chat.
He's gone.
It's got some great reviews. Philip here says, stamps, just the job. Thanks, mate. Good review from Philip. Five stars. It feels like a classic dad thing to do to
it's a very
stuff.
Dad thing to do.
Yeah, it's just that thing to sort of any excuse to get yourself hidden away, doing something which keeps everyone away from you.
Just leave me alone. Yeah, that is him. Just leave me be. That's his favourite saying. Just leave me be.
Leave me be. This is it. They just want to be left alone. This is the thing.
Yeah, just leave me alone. Let me sort out my stamps.
I can tell what your dad got for Christmas from you in 2010.
What?
I mean, this is the other reason that being into something like stamps is good, because it unlocks a whole host of presents.
A whole host of really crap, dull presents that you can buy people, and he'll be really excited by. What did I buy?
Yeah, $9.99 on the Visionary Magnifier for stamp collectors.
Great, yeah, that was it. Yep. Visionary Magnifier.
It's just, it's perfect. It's all set up. So it's magnifying glass on a sort of...
Everything,
Imagine like a really, 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 really shit microscope. And you put stamps underneath it and you go, yep, that's a stamp, and you're away, mate. That's not a fake, I can confirm, that's a stamp.
He's one of those people as well, like if for my birthday, like we, so Joe's got some family that are in Malta, and my dad will like rip the stamp off the envelope. Oh, I'll have that one, that's the one from Malta.
Oh, wow. I love it. Okay, all right. Oh, no, I promised we wouldn't do anything embarrassing. And there isn't.
Go on.
Well, hang on. We're in 2011 now. Okay, so where are you living at this point, please, in 2011? Where are you? Who are you?
Would I have moved into my apartment? No, that was the year after. So I'm still at home.
Okay, all right. Still living at home. 1st of January 2011, you bought yourself Thinking of Me by Ollie Murs. So...
Oh yeah, I love that song.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm not even gonna lie.
You can't lie. That's the point of this podcast, mate. There's absolutely fucking no space for lying.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm all about the Ollie Murs. I love a bit of Ollie Murs.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can't thought, embarrass me with that. You're going to have to do better. No, I'm joking. Please don't do better than that. Do not. Do not. No, don't tell me that challenge.
Because I'm looking down the. You're looking down the barrel of Maroon 5, and I'm happy to bring it up on the podcast.
Oh, I love
can just,
Maroon 5.
Oh my God. All right. Okay.
Who's Adam Levine?
Christina Aguilera, Stronger Than Ever. Love a bit of Christina Aguilera.
Yes, bit of Christina Aguilera. You know what? I actually had tickets to go and see her last year, and I ended up on a job and couldn't go. And my best friend went instead, and she had a great time, and it was just a really sore subject that I couldn't go.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? When you start to get acting work, you have to, certain things you have to sack off. Like, no actor ever really goes on a summer holiday because you never know my agent might call, love. You can't.
I'm genuinely, yeah, they never do.
No. Big facts.
You're sat in your kitchen in your like swimming costume with a sad teeny. I could have been a holiday. Anyway.
It's true though, isn't it? It's true. 2012 now. Oh, look, your purchases ratchet up in 2012. You suddenly leap up to 65 purchases, Ruth.
So yeah, because me and my ex broke up in 2012.
When did you break up in 2012? Let's see if we can spot it.
Oh, it would have been June, I think, around the June time.
Because at the beginning of 2012, 20th of February, you bought the album Kylie by Kylie Minogue, the classic.
Yes, do you want to know why? Right.
Yes, please.
That was my life as a kid. I had it on cassette. That was the first album I ever got. And my uncle bought it. I was in hospital and my uncle bought it me with a Walkman so I could listen because I was obsessed with Kylie as a kid. And that was my favourite album ever. And obviously, I had no cassette player at all. So I bought it for myself on DVD as a little kid, on CD as a keepsake, and I love it. I still have it. I think it's actually in my car. I'm not even sorry.
Oh, mate. No, never be sorry for Kylie stuff. Absolutely incredible.
Vintage Kylie, not new Kylie, vintage. Old school, like, put your hand on your heart and tell me, Kylie.
Oh, and has that got the duet with Jason on the album, that one, especially for you?
No. That was, that a bit earlier? Yeah, I think that was the one earlier. This was like prime time when she was like big in everywhere, and it was I Should Be So Lucky Central.
It's amazing when we have those connections to our childhood selves, and it's so great.
It makes me so happy.
It's so
every
nice
time I listen to that album, even now at 34, it makes me so happy.
Yes, it's just an instant transportation device, and it's great when you can use Amazon and YouTube and all these places and you fall into a nostalgia hole.
Exactly. Oh. I've got so many things. I was literally like looking at Polly Pockets the other day thinking, you know, I could buy more. I'm like, no, you're 34.
Yes, you know, buy them. Buy the Polly Pockets. It's fine. So let's go to June 2012 and see if we can spot the moment, right? So May, we've got a few books. We have got, here we go. Look at this. May, this is an interesting one. Curves, Twists and Bends, A Practical Guide to Pilates for Scoliosis. How do you say
it
that?
It doesn't
scoliosis.
Work. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
I don't even think I opened that book, so it wouldn't have worked. I mean, do I even have it? I think I gave it to the charity shop. It looked like a lot of work. And I think it was for people with scoliosis who hadn't had the surgery with the metal working. So scoliosis, if no one knows, is, if anyone's unsure, it's the curvature of the spine. So some people get it as adolescents, some people have it really mildly. Mine was off the scale. So I had to have metal work put in to straighten my spine.
Right. So when did you have that done?
I first had it done in, why was I 12? So, and then it was meant to be a one-time thing, but it just kept going wrong. So I had it pretty much on the ear every year because the metalwork kept breaking in my spine. And then at the end of 2012, see if you can spot this in my Amazon purchases, I actually got really, really poorly and ended up in hospital at the end of 2012 because the metalwork in my back got infected. I ended up with septicemia. So you will see like so much shopping done on Amazon because I pretty much bought all of my Christmas presents.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
you will
see
a lot of Christmas purchases there. And I thought, I mean, after years of surgery, why I thought that a book about Pilates was going to do me any favours at that point. I mean, you know what? I don't know.
It's that thing of, but I think a lot of people with all sorts of backgrounds look at Pilates and yoga and all those things and think, aha, the cure.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it made a great coaster for my coffee at one point.
Yeah, that's what these things are good for sometimes.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. 9th of December 2012. Presumably this is for you. Ring of Fire after curry wipes.
Yes! Yes! That was for my uncle Nobed. Oh, Uncle Nobed. Well, he's literally one of my best mates. I love my uncle's in chronic. And I bought him after curry wipes. Yeah, Ring of Fire after curry wipes. You know what? That is a strong purchase. I'm going to have to do that again, maybe for Joe.
It's really good. It's really
that's
good.
You know what? I'm going to write that down for Christmas 2020. Yeah. I mean, is there a more fitting present for this year?
No, it really works.
Ring of Fire wipes.
Yeah. It's absolutely perfect.
Strong present.
Just get one of those wipes, a bit of talc, and you'll be absolutely fine.
Done.
Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toes, because these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What they're buying the most, because one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast.
What else have we got here? We're in 2013 now, by the way. Welcome to your 2013, Ruth Medley.
Welcome to 2013. Best year going. Yeah, well, 2012 wasn't great, was it? Let's face it.
2012 did not go well, so you had a split and you ended up in hospital for 3 months, but still better than 2020, right? Am I right?
So the 2013 was actually when me and Joe got together, so...
Oh,
there you go.
And you know what? I can see your music.
Do my purchases look happier?
They do a bit.
I bought my first apartment then.
Yeah.
And I got with Joe then. So yeah, the life was we were good.
Did you move in together then?
No, we got together and I was literally on the cusp of buying my first apartment, and then we got together about 2 weeks before, and me and Joe had known each other since we were kids, so you knew that by the time we got together that was gonna be pretty much it. But I was like, no, I want to say I've lived on my own. I want to do it by myself. So right. I did it, and I mean, I was never going to live with him first off, for crying out loud.
Also, you know, you had to enjoy the Rizzle Kicks party, which you must have been having.
I did not buy anything of Rizzle Kicks.
You bought Skip to the Good Bit. Skip to the Good
Bit. Oh, I love that song. I can't apologise for. No, I love it.
You are completely unapologetic, but also, Ruth, all I see on all of your Amazon purchase history, again, Chaz and Dave, greatest hits, I see joy and love, someone who just adores their life. This is absolutely fucking brilliant. Lady Gaga again.
I absolutely do. Chaz and Dave was for Joe's mum and dad. Now, Joe's mum and dad are like from Bethnal Green, proper like Cockney, East End, that loving life. Parents. And Chaz and Dave was a Christmas present for them. I remember that.
Lovely. Chaz and Dave, absolutely brilliant. There's so much laughter and love on everything you're buying. Okay, let's head into 2014 now. So Ruth, acting going okay, writing going okay, what's the life happening?
What year was that?
2014 we're diving into now.
2014 was literally when I got my first acting job at the end of 2014. So I hadn't even, that's a lie. I'd done two acting jobs before then that were like a day or two on things. But I landed my first very real game changer role, which was a lead in a BBC drama called Don't Take My Baby.
Yes.
And I got that at the end of, so December 2014 was when I got that job, and we filmed in the January of 2015. So yeah, I had actually started, I mean, again, it had just been a kind of a bit here, 4 years goes by, a bit here, 2 years goes by, and then didn't really think anything of it. And then this was, I remember my agent that I had at the time, she said, if you get this, everything changes. And it really did. So
I just, those phone calls are the best.
I know. But I hadn't got it at that point. So it was, if you get this, everything changes. If you fuck this up.
God, don't tell you that. Was that before? Was that like before a recall by the time that was happening?
No, you know what? She when it came on her desk, when it arrived on her desk, I absolutely, I've only ever had two agents, and a big shout out to my first agent. She was absolutely incredible. I love her very much, Georgina. She took very good care of me, and we made something very, very beautiful together. So
It's hard to leave an agent, isn't it?
Oh my God, don't. It was the worst thing. I couldn't sleep. I'm just not business minded. I'm far too emotional for all of that stuff. Joe, on the other hand, was like, it's a business decision. I'm like, no, I can't. I just can't. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. Yeah. But we're really good mates now, so it's really nice.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I tell you what, you buy a lot of books by Elizabeth Haynes. I love Elizabeth Haynes. Behind Closed Doors. Oh, I love those sort of thrillers. She's great.
I'm a crime thriller obsessive, and I have so many books of hers.
Are you?
Yes.
Where is? Oh, sorry, but you have got to write yourself. You as the main detective. You need to write yourself a crime thriller series for TV.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I would be the. I mean, how inconspicuous do people have to be? Because I can't promise I'll be able to hide behind a tree in my wheelchair very convincingly and things like this. This is the only thing, and I can't be quiet either.
Again,
I get far too excited about things.
Like, how many times did you see Helen Mirren creeping up behind a tree? Don't worry about it. It's fine. That's not a problem.
I love the fact that you're using Dame Helen Mirren as a benchmark here for me.
I think that would be amazing. I love crime thrillers as well. You bought The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins, Second Life by S.J. Watson. Bing, bing, bing. Yes, please. Thank you very much. She spent 30 quid.
I'm literally sat next to my bookcase and 90% of this is crime thriller.
Oh, is it really?
And they're all female. That's really bad. They're all female writers.
Well, that's not literally bad. That's not bad.
I need to expand a bit, don't I?
What about your, what's your Lee Child game? How's your Lee Child game looking?
I've never read a single Lee Child. That's how bad it is.
Greg Hurwitz, very good as well.
I'm not
Rankin.
There's literally all of my books here are female. I've never realised that before.
I'm obsessed with Val McDermid.
There you go.
I'm obsessed with Val McDermid. I think she's amazing. See, I love those books.
I'm obsessed with Erin Kelly.
Oh, yes.
I've read everything she's ever written.
Oh,
and
right.
After I did Don't Take My Baby, I followed her on Twitter for a while. And then after she watched Don't Take My Baby and followed me back.
Well,
and you genuinely would have thought like the Queen had started following me. I woke Joe up at midnight and he was like, what earth are you doing? I was like, Erin Kelly has just started following me. And now we're like Twitter buddies and we've actually passed each other in Euston Station. She's going to be listening to this at one point and thinking, okay, right, I'm going to have to limit my contact with her seriously because
she's
this is quite scary.
Me.
But yeah, I'm obsessed with her work. She is like my all-time favourite writer. Insanely talented.
Those books. I love those kinds of books. They are just my absolute catnip. Okay, here's a weird one. Here is a weird one, Ruth. 12th of August 2015, you spent £10 on Mariah Carey's Merry Christmas on the 12th of August.
I know what that was for.
2015, the 12th of August. Okay.
It's the album, isn't it?
And then the next day, you've spent £4.95 on Merry Christmas by Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know why.
I'd absolutely need to.
You say this was August.
You're the only person in the world buying Christmas albums in August. Yep. Yes.
Right. This was for one of my really good friends, Claire. She was getting married and for her hen do, we were told to buy things, just little silly gifts that remind us of Claire. And she had to open them and guess who got them her. She would always, that is her favourite song, All I Want for Christmas is You. She would just literally belt it. And I remember her birthday's in February and she used to get really drunk at her house parties and play that in February. And so that will always remind me of her. So that was my present.
Didn't everyone scream at her when she was singing that in February?
Until we'd had more drinks and then it was like, this is great. So there was a method behind the weird purchases in August.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right. That's allowed.
£89,
8th of January, 2016. You've obviously had a heavy Christmas in 2015.
Eighth
of January, 2016.
Yes,
Derma wand for wrinkles and puffy eyes. Hello.
Oh my God. Seriously. That thing is a godsend.
Really? Really?
People tell me I look young all the time. The Derma wand is the reason why.
Fuck you. Okay, because having done a lot of breakfast radio in the last 2 or 3 years, I have aged up really badly.
Get a dab of wand. Honestly, they're amazing. So what they do, it's like infrared, and so it tackles like, so I mean, I don't have wrinkles at all, but I get really bad hay fever. So my eyes go really puffy and things, and I feel like I'm, because I'm rubbing them, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get really bad crow's feet. So I bought the derma wand, and but it also, it's not just for that. So it gets rid of like scarring from any kind of spots you've had, or colour pigmentation in your skin. Love it. And it's dead relaxing.
Warming thermal energy. That's what it does.
Yeah, so it's like a little mini electric shock. I mean, I know it sounds painful and I'm not selling this well, but you can adjust it. So you turn it up to a different settings. I remember I did it on Joe once and he was like,
This is what women often do. They go through ridiculous amounts of pain.
It doesn't hurt. That's the thing.
You just told me it didn't.
No, I mean, electrocuting is a little bit of a stretch, isn't it? Let's face it.
We've got a review here from Wells. Derma wand hurts when I use it on my forehead. Yes. It feels like the nerves underneath are bruised.
Yeah, well, that's, yes. And you're not going to have a single wrinkle on your face. Be grateful.
Keep defending this. No, because you'll be dead. Keep defending. There was nothing about this item that I liked. Looks cheap and the burning skin smell is horrible.
It does not have a burning skin smell. No, seriously. I mean, if you've got a low pain threshold, probably it's not for you. But I personally, I love the derma wand.
A lot of people who have said it's very good, but I just think someone's saying this. As product reviews
go. Just my wine out. Seriously, that's a joke.
The burning skin smell put me off. Yeah, that's reasonable. Also, you do that thing that I do, which is when you fixate on a item of clothing that you like, you buy it several hundred thousand times.
And I'm talking about
the Converse shoes. So
oh
many
my God,
Converse
don't
shoes.
I have that? You know what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Tom is the tip of the iceberg.
Do you have a Converse problem?
Yeah. I don't want curing. I just want it to get worse.
Yeah. If possible.
So proud of it.
When I get moved into a home, when I'm preferably, you know, in my maybe 90s,
yeah,
realistically 80s, if my diet continues the way it is, 70s. I want to, the only possessions I want to have are just hundreds of pairs of Converse from over the years.
Great.
Shoes I have loved. It's the only way to do it.
Seriously, I live in Converse. I wear Converse on red carpets. I wear them anywhere. Literally, I love them.
They're such a good look, aren't they?
I just love them, and they're great for me. And I'm a wheelchair user, so I very rarely wreck shoes.
Yeah, how are you buying so fucking many of them then? Jesus.
Because we've just established it's an obsession. It's an unhealthy obsession, and we're just going to work with it.
Okay, fine. So loads and loads of pairs of
tip of the iceberg.
And then August 2018, the Samsung Galaxy S7 screen tempered glass screen protector. Very nice.
Again, why not?
Yeah. Third time that year. and more Maroon 5. Maybe that's why you're smashing your phone, because it keeps playing Maroon 5. Stop it!
I love Maroon 5!
And then once again, you're buying Christmas music. It's the only way to... Oh, fucking hell. She bought it in August a couple of years ago. Now, November 2018, she's bought...
See, that's more acceptable.
More, only just. Baby, It's Cold Outside by Dean Martin.
Yes.
Very good, very good.
Love that song so much. Makes me so happy. I know people have a problem with it, but I just love it.
I see. Yeah, it hasn't aged that well, has it? Oh, come on, stay here. It's been as cold outside. Yeah, there's witnesses outside. It's not nice. I know,
but it just, it makes me sad. It's on the film Elf and everything.
Yes, it is.
Never mind.
Look at this big spender. I can tell the TV cash has started rolling in. See you later, WizKids Charity. I don't need your cash anymore. I can spend
£805
on a coffee machine. That, Ruth Madeley, is a record for my Mate Bought a Toaster.
That is so embarrassing. That is awful. That is obscene. That is ridiculous. But I genuinely, I fell in love with this coffee machine, right? It's self-cleaning. It does everything. And coffee is, well, my life. When Joe and I first got together, he bought me a different coffee machine, which broke, which is why I replaced it with this one. For our first Christmas together, he bought me a coffee machine because he realised that life was infinitely better once I'd had a coffee. So
good, clever man. Yeah.
And he was like, my life is hideous when you haven't had a coffee. So when that broke, I was like, we got the kitchen redone. And I said, I'm going to treat myself to a coffee machine. And I saw that one and it was, I'd gone and seen it in the shop and it was beautiful and I loved it.
Did you try one? Did you try a coffee in the shop?
Yes. It cleaned itself. That was a big thing for me. Not that I'm lazy or anything.
You have mentioned the self-cleaning several times.
I know, it was a big selling point. And I'd looked at other ones and it just didn't have the same taste or there was just nothing that could beat it. And I fought with myself an awful lot over this. Good. I was like, you cannot spend that money on that. And then I thought, you know what? Sod it. I'm going to buy it. You know what? Best thing, apart from the dog, best thing I ever bought.
Well, very similar to the dog because it cleans itself. Your dog licks its balls. This coffee machine cleans itself.
It's, you know what? The dog can't reach his balls. For crying out, he's a bulldog. Oh, really? He can't reach his balls. I have to clean everything. It's atrocious.
Just use the curry wipes. It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, little boy.
Does it have an app so you can make it from elsewhere?
No, but it does recognize what you have. So, like, you turn it on, it goes, good morning, Ruth. Would you like a cappuccino?
Hang on. Considering that you've bought this, presumably with money you earned doing years and years, which is a kind of dystopian vision of the future where our items and furniture talk to us.
We are now living in the reality version,
Yeah.
I mean, look, that machine is my life. It's so funny. It turns on and then I will say good morning back to it. That's how bad it is.
Oh my God.
It's just,
Ruth and a coffee machine up a tree.
You love it.
Okay, all right, good. So 800 rands on a coffee machine. Congratulations. That is the new record for the most expensive thing.
Please, we never commend this guy. I'm going to be ripped to shit for that. That is ridiculous amount to spend on a coffee machine. God.
It's thoroughly deserved. It's thoroughly deserved. Here we are now, crashing right smack bang into the present. We have got a hamster animal collection, sterling silver, lovely hamster beads.
Now, my best friend, Nicola, she got her husband bought her a hamster for Christmas last year.
Right.
I swear to God, how I feel about my dog is how she treats her hamster.
Oh, God, don't. Because hamsters only last about 2 minutes.
Do not. Oh. Seriously. I did a job. This is God's honest truth. When I was filming, it's not filming, I did a 3-month theatre gig in London in December last year.
Right.
So November, December, January, finished in Feb. And her and her husband and Joe, they all came to stay with me for one weekend. And Nicola cried on the train because she had to leave. Don't.
She's 12.
You would think so if you met her. Believe me, she was like, I had to leave Mickey. Oh, so for her birthday, that was only one of the hamster-related presents. So I got her, she's got a Pandora bracelet. Other brands are available. And Pandora don't do a hamster charm. So I found this other charm that will fit a Pandora bracelet, and it's in the shape of a hamster. I also got her, you know, one of those cushions of people's heads that you can get.
Yeah,
I got one of her head of a hamster. And she went away for the weekend with her husband, and she took that with her so she wouldn't feel that far away from the hamster. So if anyone tells me I have an unhealthy relationship with my dog, I'm just going to point them in Nicola's direction.
This is what happens. People who aren't into dogs and cats punch down at us and think we're fucking idiots for how much we love our animals.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have the hamster owners beneath us. That's how low down they are. We
and
can
then
mock
there's
them.
Fish. And then there's the people who love then there's fish. And then it's like, okay, mate, you need to sort yourself out.
Seriously. Really? Did it? It can't have a personality. It's memory loss 3 seconds. Unbelievable. Wow, hamster love, there's a thing. I did not know it was a thing. I always thought hamsters were just bought to show your kids what happens when an animal dies. That is basically
you know something, you need to on record now apologise to Nicola for saying that, because she will literally cry when she hears you say that.
Nicola, your hamster, I've just been checking with hamster god. Oh god. And he said that your hamster's never going to die. Your hamster is
thank
immortal.
Thank you. Thank god.
And, what's the name of her hamster?
Mickey with incredibly large balls. You have never seen balls on a hamster like it. It is obscene.
So Mickey Big Balls is going to be absolutely fine. Don't worry about him.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Balls? What happens when he goes on the wheel with those balls? That must be a problem.
So sometimes one pops out, sometimes neither pop out, sometimes both pop out.
Right. Okay. Well, it's something to watch, isn't it?
It's really interesting. I was like, something is wrong with your hamster. He's got an abscess. She went, no, that's his testicle. Right.
Okay. Cool. Please use that line in the sitcom sometime. All right.
But this is how our podcast has kind of taken a turn now into hamster testicles.
Hamster balls. It's just great. The topics we've touched upon. I'm exhausted. And then finally, delivered on the 13th of September, but a few days ago, you placed the order on the 11th of September, some lovely Pro Steel women's gold hoop earrings, 18K
I'm all about the hoop.
Plated. All about the hoop. Everyone's all about the hoop.
All about the hoop. I actually bought a pair because I have to wear my hoops. I love my hoops. I have so many pairs of earrings. Earrings are my thing, as well as Converse. And I one of my earrings broke, so I had to replace them.
Right. Okay. Well, there
it's
you
the same day. I was like, I can't be without.
But that is the good thing, isn't it, about using this sort of building your style around certain basic things means it's very easy to replace those things.
So easy. You know something? Amazon was a nightmare during lockdown. I had to turn it off.
Yeah. Did you actually?
Just keep getting delivered. Yeah. At one point I was like, right, you can't buy any more things you don't need. You have not worked. You don't know when you're going to work again.
Don't think about it. Do you have stuff lined up then? Have they started?
I have a couple of bits lined up. And as you are honestly hysterically, this is how bad it was. You might have seen it. It was announced a couple of months back. I signed up to do BBC's Celebrity Best Home Cook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was hysterical. I was like, well, this is nice. And then, you know, when you're thinking, is it or is it nice because I haven't worked?
So have they done it yet?
Yes, we've finished filming now. I can't give anything away, but from me, don't expect miracles.
Okay. So is it better? Do you do better or worse than your mastermind experience, which we started this whole conversation on?
Oh my God. I was praying to God that I would do better than my mastermind experience, and I did marginally better. You know what? It was such a laugh. It's what we needed after being locked up. I needed to see other people and pretend that I could. Well, it was basically acting. I wonder what a chef would act like.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. That's all life is.
I could hone my skill.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. But hey, we had a good time. But yeah, so that was a nice job to come out of lockdown with. But now we're back in local lockdown, so God knows when I'll be let out again.
Properly in it now. You let out or what?
Well, yeah, it's just that, you know, you can't go and see family and all that stuff. And
oh God.
Yeah, it's just a bit. Ugh.
Yeah, it is a bit ugh. Listen, Ruth, this has been a balm for the ugh, which we've all had this year. Thank you so much for giving us your time and for letting me go through so much detail. Listen, Ruth Maitland, you're absolutely brilliant, and I think you're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Years and Years was a highlight of TV for me in the last couple of years, and I wish you all
you
the best
so
with all the stuff you've got coming up. And we can follow you on the Twitters. What's your Twitter bits, please?
At Ruth Maitland, I'm Ruth _ Maidley on Twitter. See, this is how terrible I am. I'm Ruth _ Maidley on Twitter, and I'm Ruth Maidley on Instagram. See,
okay,
got them wrong.
Fine, well done. It's that simple. It's not actually right.
What an absolute joy. Thank you so much for having me.
The brilliant Ruth Maidley. Isn't she great? What a fantastic actor. What an inspiring person. And all the shit you could possibly dream of for an episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. My favourite. What was your favourite? Tweet me, @ToasterPod. I think my favourite was the Kylie album. just tells you everything you need to know. Anyone who loves a Kylie album, I'm going to be a big fan of theirs. Listen, thank you so much for listening. I haven't booked a guest for next week, so I really need to get on with that. If you've got any good ideas for people, can you give me a tweet, please, at Toasterpod? Because I've just about rinsed my little black book now, so come on, I need some help. Also, can you do me a favour as well? If you could write a review and, you know, star rating and all that shit over on our... page on your podcast platform. Running out of words. That's my running out of words warning. But also, my wife's podcast is out this week. It's called One Torn Every Minute. The first episode landed last week. I think I'll put a trail in for it in this episode, actually. And it's got the brilliant Sophie Ellis-Bextor. She was on last week. And it's stories of childbirth, but told with a fantastic sense of humour and with a lot of love put into incredibly vivid descriptions of various parts of the female anatomy going through what is... by and large, a fairly horrendous procedure, but all done with a smile and a wink to camera. Not really a wink to camera, more of a nod to the microphone. Enough of me talking, but have a listen to One Torn Every Minute. It's dead good. And that's me getting a text live on the show. Right, I'm going now. All the best. Lots of love. Kind regards. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com